We all went down to Lime Street Station to get James. You're standing there and you're waiting and you see the coaches coming in and you just can't wait to get hold of your son. And the first coach come in, poor people were getting off there, they were in a terrible mess. And I thought, oh, he's not on that one. So I said to the driver, how many more coaches? He said, oh, there's a few more to come in. Next one come in. No James. We waited till the very last one. And I thought, he's got to be on this one. He's got to be on this one. And I was just ready to hug him. I was desperate to hug him. And love him. But the whole passengers got off that, and I thought, where is he?
That's Margaret Aspinall, whose 18-year-old son James died in the Hillsborough disaster. Six people have now been charged. The match commander, David Duckenfield, will face 95 counts of manslaughter by gross negligence. Three other former South Yorkshire police officers, a solicitor who was with the force at the time, and an official from Sheffield Wednesday will also go to court. 96 men, women and children died in the crush in the stadium on the 15th of April 1989, and one of those victims was 38-year-old Michael Kelly. His brother Steve joins me on the line now. Steve, good morning to you.
Good morning, Johnson.
What did it mean to you yesterday to hear the Crown Prosecution Service say that these charges were going to be brought?
Well, to be honest with you, at the moment when they read out that people were going to be charged with offences at Hillsborough, it was very euphoric. I mean, there was a spontaneous round of applause from the people sitting in the audience. And, you know, you had quite a feeling of elation that your campaign, your fight, your war, in fact, has, you know, brought some fruit. I mean, I was just listening to Margaret there and my heart was bleeding, you know, because that's what the families have gone through all these years in this fight. But, you know, yesterday was such a whirlwind that, you know, we were all so pleased and happy that, you know, our as I say, our war was bringing results. But I noticed the mood then sadly go to a more sombre, quieter peace, if you like. And then I think it then sank into people that we've still got a long way to go yet before this is resolved, because, you know, it's one thing charging people, and it's one thing making them truly, truly accountable. And that, I think, is the whole ethos of the Hillsborough fight, because, you know, truth and justice go together with accountability. Once we've got them three elements, I think we can then finally, you know, be at peace. We don't want that third element to be vengeance. You know, we need the law courts to finish off our fight, and then we can sadly, you know, put this to rest. You know, for the 96, and to give ourselves some peace for the rest of our lives. Yeah.
On the day Michael died, you had no idea the fight you were taking on, did you?
No, I mean, and you know, as the years went on, you couldn't believe how much harder it was getting, and I still feel in that place now. You know, I feel like yesterday again. You know, Mike's had in effect so many deaths. It just, because it seems to resurface at these occasions all the time. I feel again this morning quite bereaved, because all Mike's, you know, issues and have been brought up again, and you're hearing information that you has been battered into your head for all these years. You know, again, you know, like you broadcast there with Margaret, you're hearing people's pain all the time. It just re-emerges your own, and you cannot escape it. And we need to. We've got to, as people. You know, the human tragedy here alone has been unbelievable. And, you know, I'm again this morning missing Mike, like, you know, it was that very fateful day. And, you know, we should have had, you know, a natural mourning period in our lives, which is every human being's right. And that's been denied us. And that's one of the painful things you've got to deal with. You're constantly reliving the event. And as I say today, you know, I'm sitting here now and I've heard that, you know, people charged with criminal offences. But that's going to be, again, so far down the line.
It's nearly 30 years since you lost Mike. Yeah. You'll have, people in your own family will have passed away in that time, not having had that sense of relief, that sense of euphoria that you felt yesterday, and would have gone to their graves just with that grief.
Yeah. Well,
Jonathan, does that make it harder, Steve?
Oh, that I think that is one of the most difficult things. I mean, since Hillsborough, I mean, my mum passed in 1994. My sister, after an illness, a short illness, passed away in 2000. I lost my own son 6 years ago, and 4 years ago I lost my partner. So I'm the only person left. I've got no one to go to at the end of these things. I can get hugs off anyone, and I can just say I'm a bereaved Hillsborough family. Someone will hug me, but no, from my own, no one can come and put their arm around me and, you know, comfort me. I have to go to a grave, which is what I done yesterday at the end of Warrington. So I can get a bit upset now, and I have to go to my mum's grave and, you know, see my mother and my sister and my father, who sadly passed in 1957, you know, and tell them, yeah, there's another step, Mum. We're getting there. And, yeah, it's hard because, you know, 30 years, you know, you should be moved on, but you can't, because this event, and, you know, what I always say is the cowards, of course, this. You know, and you know, going as far back as the Taylor report, you know, it's been the same thing all the time. The fans were not to blame; there was others to blame. But people have used the law to good effect to you know, deflect charges, to deflect blame, and they've left us with this cruel life we've had to live, fighting for, you know, perfectly good people's names to be cleared. And And it's the toll it's taken on us is being astronomical.
I can only imagine what it has been like to continue that fight non-stop, all-consuming, for everybody who's involved. It was a disparate group that was drawn together, people who had never known each other. I know you know Margaret Aspinall, who we heard. Yeah. I know you know many of the other families who have been fighting this. Indeed, the people who survived, who have lended their support over the years. This has drawn together a different family, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah. You know, again, you know, yesterday when I went to Warrington, I mean, I went to park my car and I walked around the corner and, you know, I'm walking down. Next thing you see all the faces of the families, and straight away, you know, we all embrace and we are one, and we've done this struggle together, along with many others, you know, who've joined us, survivors, supporters of Liverpool FC and beyond. And it's great, you know, and that keeps you going. You think, well, you know, we're doing this as, you know, as a group of people who've fought for truth, fought for justice, and fought for I think more important, what's right. And, you know, we've had some terrible hurdles along the way, but we've been on the canvas and we've picked each other up, we've pushed each other over hurdles, and we've put an arm around each other, and we've got there, you know. And you know, we've still got a way to go before we can actually say, well, we've done absolutely everything, but, you know, we've done it together. And yet that Hillsborough family stretches for many, many miles, and many people, and it's been a wonderful story of comradeship, of community, and, you know, people need to draw strength, I think, from that.
One of the things that stands out for me, Steve, is every time the story comes back into the news, we're brought back to 1989, we're shown the footage, and I remember watching this live on the BBC, because I think the match was being televised, and I remember the commentary stopping and the camera, first of all, with a tight shot on what was happening, and then a wide shot, and then cutting away because something so terrible was happening. But we see the imagery. Yeah. We see the people in that horrible crush up against the fence, screaming, looking for help. And we know that help for many of them just couldn't get to them. Do you have to Is that hard? Should we stop looking at that footage? Do we need to see that footage anymore now?
Well, I personally would like it to be stopped myself. I mean, but to be perfectly honest, Jonathan, the extra footage we had to watch in the courts, which, please God, you know, people will never see, was, trust me, a lot more horrendous. Even the audio, you know, was the same. And yes, I would like to see it stopped. But if it, you know, if it keeps coming home to the authorities that this is what happened, and you know it should never happen again, well then no, keep showing it. Let's keep our foot on the gas. You know, don't let them off. We, you know, we've seen some terrible situations in London with the Grenfell fire. You know, these people now are in the same boat as Hillsborough families. They're going to go through terrible struggles to get answers and accountability for what happened that night. And if them people can see our fight, to give them a little bit of strength to challenge the authorities to help ensure these kind of events never happen again, well then show it. But on a personal level, I would love to see it stop now, but I don't think it can be just yet.
How often do you go to Mike's grave? Do you go regularly? Do you talk to him? Do you tell him about your progress and how you're getting on?
Yeah, well, there's a cemetery in Liverpool here called Utsey where my mum, my dad, my sister Joan, and my uncle Martin are. Mike is actually, his ashes are where he'd like them more than anywhere else, they're in the Cock Goldmouth. But there's a little bit piece of him which I kept aside from when my mum went, and I put him in with my mum. So there's a bit of them there, but all together. And yet I go every week and have a chat. And I always tell him how, you know, well, this week's been great, really, because I've been telling him some good signings that Everton have been doing. You know, I'm a blue boy. So we have, you know, just try to keep it light and talk to him about the football, talk about whatever. But then, you know, on the special days like yesterday, I mean, I went come home from Warrington yesterday. My first port of calls is the cemetery, and I go and tell them what's happened. And you know, that's my faith. I believe in that. And that's what keeps me going. You know, and because I want to go there one day and say, right, that's it. We've done the lot.